Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramar Tefio on blogtalkradio.com. For more alternative radio and media, go to thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
Okay, everybody, thank you for joining me on Thursday's Hammer Down Mirrors Show. I'm your host, Kevin Batterton, and we have an interesting show today. We are going to do our very first debate show. I am still doing a couple things here. I know that, Joel, you are with us. Joel, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, and thank you for coming on.
Hey, guys. Joel Velasic. Send a couple of you guys see me around.
And Joel, who's, you know, the main debate is going to be between our regular guest on the panel, Sarah, and the two hosts, Jeff and I, and Sarah is in grave need of assistance, and I take it you are going to be helping Sarah out today.
Yeah, we're going to do the best we can on this one, man.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Is my co-host with me?
Hell yeah, I'm ready.
Oh, my man. Okay, Jeff, I brought my wooden shoes this time.
Oh,
and,
shit.
And we're going to clog all over them. Okay,
oh,
that's
yeah.
The plan. We're going to clog all over them. How about our semi-moderator all the way from Scotland? Is Blair with us?
No.
He's not there with us yet. Okay, well, he will be your traveling.
No, there is a 661, but
yes.
They're just listening. They didn't hit 1 to come on. They're just listening. So
he's pressing 1 right now. That is what he's telling me in chat. He is already in Skype.
Who?
There. He should be there.
Okay.
Blair is going to help us keep time and everything. He says he's pressing 1, so we're definitely going to wait for Blair.
Okay, I'm going to... well, you know, Mercury's retrograde. Blair, is that you?
It is, yeah.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we got Blair. And where is the woman of the hour? Sarah, where are you?
Sarah, get your ass in here.
Where is she?
She's saying she's having some problem with Skype. I don't know, she should be a shopper. Everything will be cool.
Mercury's retrograde. That means problems with communication and transportation are everywhere.
Oh, shit. Well, that explains a lot.
That explains a lot, doesn't it?
Well, this is how we're going to go ahead and iron this out, I think. I think we'll have 2 minutes to speak on a topic. And then once it's replied to... you know, we'll have 1 minute for a rebuttal, things like that. We'll keep it as organized as possible, and so everybody has, you know, as much as we'll keep it as equal as possible for people to speak.
Oh yeah.
I think that's going to be the goal, and you know, we're all going to be in a group chat to make sure that things run smoothly. But you know, as typical, Jeff and I will stay behind the scenes and do our own thing. And decide how we're going to tackle things, too. This is all about strategy. This is a team debate. And once Sarah gets in here, we are going to go ahead and offer the floor to Sarah and Joel first. And they are going to let us know exactly why they feel that Ron Paul is the savior of politics. So.
All right, so... I guess you're wondering why we support Ron Paul.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, let's start with you, Joel, since we're waiting on Sarah to get in. You go ahead and give it a go.
Yeah, I got a little bit of background here. You know, he was born back in 1935 in Pittsburgh, son of a dairy farmer. He got a bachelor's science and biology, and when he was 22. He got a doctor of medicine from Duke University when he was 26, and then he served as a flight surgeon from 63 to 65, Air National Guard, etc. He was influenced early in his med school days by Frederick Hayes' The Road to Serfdom, which is a book written about the warning of the danger of tyranny. It's also a book that promotes free markets, and this essentially is a pretty popular book when it comes to libertarian topics. It's all related to tyranny caused by government control, of economic decisions, and their central planning. So basically it's about decentralized government, and the book talks about the abandonment of individualism, and how government control inevitably results in the loss of freedom. And basically that, let me see here, the creation of an oppressive society, it warns of a creation of an oppressive society, tyrannical dictatorship, and individual serfdom. So these are a lot of things that Ron Paul had warned about, and that a lot of people are saying are, you know, somewhat prophetic because of the things that are happening, you know, today in the United States and the world all over, you know. So that's a big thing. He studies a lot of people who went to the Austrian school, and they're all libertarian thinkers. I have some notes on them. Ludwig von Mises, he was indirectly responsible for the economic reconstruction of Europe after World War II. He was tied closely with the author of that book, The Road to Serfdom. Another person that Paul studied was Ayn Rand, and that was a female. She was an advocate of reason as the only means of acquiring knowledge. So, you know, I'm a fan of a lot of these things that I'm talking about here. Some of the ideas was, you know, related to libertarianism. It's going to be the initiation of force is immoral. They oppose collectivism and statism and anarchism. Uh-huh. So that they do believe that, you know, they believe in a mini-anarchist limited government, which says the state has no authority to use its monopoly of force to interfere with free markets, only to enforce the judicial system and enforce financial and legal contracts. A big part of all this ties in with laissez-faire capitalism. I didn't know I didn't say that right. My French sucks. It literally translates to let us be. It's all about non-regulation, non-interference. The whole idea is, you know, the individual is the basic unit in society. The individual has the natural right to freedom. They believe that nature is a harmonious and self-regulating system, that corporations are essentially entities of the state and therefore must be watched closely by the state citizenry, which I agree with. Markets should be competitive. Free markets. Okay, I made notes here also that a truly free market may be unattainable and may have never truly fully existed. So this seems kind of maybe like a utopian kind of idea, but nonetheless, I think it's a great idea. Free markets would encourage all kinds of trading and stop tariffs, sanctions, etc. And then, you know, just continuing on the whole libertarianism, basically it's going to be the opposite of authoritarianism. It's a set of political philosophies that uphold liberty as the highest regard. Now, we do a lot of talking about the liberty here. What is liberty? And from what I found, liberty is the value of individuals to have control over their own actions.
Uh-huh.
So basically, you know, everybody should be free to, you know, carry on about how they are. As long as they're responsible, that's another part of this. I'm going to tie in here in a minute. But one thing about, you know, liberalism, which kind of ties in with libertarianism, economic liberalism is the right of the individual to conduct trade and operate in a market free of constraint.
So I'm a big, I believe in that completely, but I do not believe in social liberalism, which is the belief that libertarianism should include social justice. And, you know, who's to judge social justice? So I think that's so crazy. I also have here that libertarianism is based on the belief that people should, ought, and must behave according to their own free will and take responsibility for their actions. I think that's one of the biggest parts that a lot of people don't take into consideration.
And that's great. I mean, that's a great speech. Blair, how much time do we have for him to continue, or has he exceeded?
No, that's fine. Why don't you give your side for 5 minutes, and then we can move on to some Q&A and have a bit of a debate.
Okay, so Jeff and I have a bit of a time for some overview, and I think Sarah just got in too.
I think she is.
Sarah, are you in, Sarah?
I'm in, Captain Faggot. I'm here.
We knew that was coming. That's okay. First of all, Sarah, I take it you're okay with Joel's opener, because now it's going to have to pass to Jeff and I, because we got to get our opener out quickly.
Oh boy!
So,
you want to start?
As long as you don't have any objections with Joel's opener, we'd like to continue, if that's okay with you, sir.
I only caught about the last half of it, but I'm good with continuing on. That's fine.
Okay.
Great.
Jeff, would you mind if I start and then I'll pass it to you?
Oh, yeah, of course. Go ahead, brother.
Well, brother, and Jeff, I know that you probably heard a lot of libertarianism repeated over and over and that again, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, I don't have a big problem with that, but my main problem with Ron Paul and politicians as a whole, and I got some slack on him, but we're gonna get to that later. All these politicians, and I'm not leaving one single person out, they all just look at Obama and what he said. What was it, in 2003, 2006, he's doing the complete opposite. I'm not saying that Ron Paul is going to be the same, but politicians, for general, I don't know why people should even trust them. These people, they have, if I can say it like this, they fucked up the country of America, not only America, but they got their hands in everything. And if you look a little bit at the background of those people and where they get from, and where they are coming from. And Joel, you did a pretty good description on his past. But there's more to it. But I'm gonna let Evan hit it off first, and after that we will continue.
Well, I don't really have too much to say before we get into it, other than the fact that I heard a lot of references to libertarianism and him being a libertarian. And my big problem with that is he's a Republican. That's the banner he runs under. That's the crowd he's with. That's who his son is. When it all boils down to it, Ron Paul is a Republican.
Son.
He is not a libertarian. If he was a libertarian, he would run as a libertarian.
He ran as a libertarian in 88.
And that didn't work out too well for him. So
yeah, obviously not.
Because
running third party doesn't really get you anywhere, does it?
He ran as a Republican, but at the same time, while he was a Republican, he didn't vote with the Republican ticket. He wasn't one of the people that, you know, only stuck with party lines. As a matter of fact, I have something here that says he voted like so many times. He cast 2/3 of all the lone negative votes in the House during the 95 to 97 period. Like, he's completely outside of his party, you know. And as a matter of fact, the Republicans hated him for that, you know.
Okay, what? Oh, I'm sorry.
So he'll call himself whatever he needs to call himself to get his political funding and his votes. is basically what it boils down to.
He's
I understand that. If I was a dishonest politician, I would do the same thing.
As opposed to what you would do as an honest politician?
Yeah, there is no such thing as there.
What is an honest
politician?
There
is no such thing. Okay, what is our next? Jeff, did you have anything else to add on that? I mean,
On what
he,
you
what it looked like to me, brother, is that he ran as a libertarian in 88. It didn't work out for him, so he had to front as something else to get his money and get his votes. That's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah.
You can put words in people's mouths all you want to, but that doesn't make it what I said.
No, I'm just saying that that's what it appears to me.
No, that's what you're implying and taking it as.
Oh, it is going
I think most people would probably agree with me that I just...
I would not agree that he changed any kind of beliefs or what have you. He's stuck to the same principles the entire time he's ever been running for.
I would say personally that Republicans by far are a huge proponent of the military-industrial complex, and I think that Ron Paul, pulled himself away from that. He has, the non-intervention policy. And as a matter of fact, it made him the only 2008 Republican presidential candidate to vote against the Iraq War resolution. I don't know. I'm just not seeing, the party tie. I understand, he did run as a Republican. But, I mean, let's face it. If you're a brand-new politician just getting on the trying to, get your face out there and be a part of something and actually get people around you, it's real hard to do that in a third-party scenario. So, the way that I kind of see it is that he kind of infiltrated the Republicans and then didn't vote with the Republicans. He was a conservative fiscally, but, militarily...
Now, say that for me one more time. He had to run as a Republican. Why?
To get the people
his
on the
principles
side.
Are Republican.
Everybody's stuck in the two-party paradigm,
And that's true.
He had to run as a Republican because he couldn't get his votes. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Well, I'm telling you that if you're a person, okay, and let's say you want to be a politician, if you run as a third party. Anything like that, it's obvious that you are not going to have the same kind of exposure as, having, Democrat or Republican ticket next to your name,
so that he could get his vote. He didn't get the vote. He got his name out there and he got his message across, and I think that that's an important thing.
Obviously wasn't a Democrat.
Not as profoundly as he did and changed as many lives as he did had he run under third party, because third party is not allowed in debate.
So basically the ends justify the means, then. I understand.
I mean,
he had to lie about what political party he was so he could get his vote.
Yeah, I would say he more infiltrated them,
He was a Republican before he was a libertarian. He was a Republican before he ran as a libertarian. He ran under the Republican platform for the second time after he didn't succeed with his libertarian run. And it wasn't because he switched parties. It was because...
I don't see him as being happy or pleased with the Republican
Party. And the true beliefs of the Republican Party were more connected to his beliefs than libertarianism was.
What he did was honest. Then I'm confused.
I don't see what is dishonest about it. Explain to me how it's dishonest to openly.
He has one of the most conservative voting records. Paul had the most conservative voting record of any member of Congress from 1937 to 2002. Really, what we're talking about is what does the Republican Party define, And that's what's really skewed right now,
Is he a libertarian or a Republican? That's my question.
He's never said that he was a libertarian. He's always said that he was a Republican, and he ran Republican before he ran libertarian.
Okay.
Isn't that called lie? Because he's obviously a libertarian. He obviously...
I think there's been an evolution of parties and his views as well.
The Republican Party has changed a lot. Republican so that he could be in debates and so he could get his name out there. That is only our assumption. He's never made that claim. He never said I'm running on his own Ethereum platform to get my name out there.
Just from after 11 terms in Congress, do you think you'd have enough money after 11 terms in Congress to come out and tell the truth? I mean, after a couple terms in Congress.
But a lot of the money that he made, he put back into the pool. He didn't pocket that money.
What
can I just ask
Evan?
He's not
a rich man. Just because he was in Congress for so many years and he was a doctor for so many years, he lives in a ranch-style house. He's not a wealthy man. He's a middle-class
citizen. The reason he even decided to enter politics in the first place is when Nixon took us off the gold standard, and he realized that, you know, the fiat system and debt-based currency would be the death of us and would bring us hyperinflation, you know? And, you know, I find that kind of motivational, personally.
Yeah.
I wish
we could return
to something that's a little more fair.
Yeah, I think Joel and Sarah have made a good point, Evan, but I think you should, just before we move on, just be clear of what you think Ron Paul has been dishonest about. And just quickly, and then we'll move on to something else.
Oh, boy. You want to begin, Evan, or should I guess?
Well, just on the topic that you were talking about, just on the, you know, what he was running as. How do you feel he was being dishonest, and then we'll move on?
You're asking me how I feel he was being dishonest?
Yeah.
I would say that it's not so much dishonesty as he's an opportunist. If he decided to run when the gold standard was gotten rid of, it would certainly up his chances. And I think he knew that he couldn't win as a libertarian, and I think that's why he decided to lie and say that he was a Republican. It's just dishonesty to me.
It's a good story.
Oh,
my God.
It's dishonesty to me because when people go to the polls, what do they say? I'm going to have to vote for the lesser of two evils. They don't ever take into account third parties. What I see is a man who's trying to manipulate the political system because he knows how the American people think. He's not being true to himself, and he's not being true to the people. He's misrepresenting himself.
I think representing himself as a conservative is somewhat, I think that's somewhat accurate, you know. He is conservative, but, you know, in different ways, you know. Like I said, the huge difference between the Republicans and him is going to be the military-industrial complex. That's where you separate the two. And, the military-industrial complex is what's powering the Republicans.
All I heard at the beginning of the debate, and I think Jeff heard it too, is that, you know, he was getting nowhere as a libertarian, therefore he had to change to become a Republican.
He was a Republican before he was a libertarian.
And then he became a libertarian, and that worked out even worse.
I don't understand how switching up your platform makes you dishonest.
He ran as a Republican at first. When he was upset with their policies, that's when he tried to run in 1988, you know, as a libertarian by himself. And he was,
whether he was a Republican or whether he was a libertarian, everything that he's ever said has been consistently the same. So I don't believe that that means he misrepresented himself because he switched platforms.
So how did it work out again for him when he ran as a libertarian?
How did it work out for him when he ran as a Republican?
Well, he was an 11-term congressman as a Republican.
And there's no libertarian congressman either. Gary Johnson was a libertarian presidential candidate, and he was a Republican.
Exactly.
Well, see, that's kind of my point. He didn't really get too far as a libertarian, so he had to go back to one of the two traditional parties, and to me, that's manipulating the system.
Evan's trolling the entire show. Hey, bro, we got a caller. What are we going to do? Do we want to take him now, or do we want to take him later?
We're going to take the callers later. We got a debate we need to proceed with.
Okay, for the callers,
Evan and Jack, you guys want to make a couple of points, and we'll get some answers from Sarah and Joel.
Oh, yeah. I got a couple of points, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Yes. As the moderator, go ahead and ask his questions too, Blair.
Oh yeah. Well, I will try to get my point out first. There is this ongoing operation by Anonymous, and a lot of people see this as not a credible source. And if you would look at the comments and everything on this, they will just go crazy. They will call it propaganda, everything. It's called Operation Blitzkrieg, and they hacked and defaced the entire American turret position, the A3P. That's a major U.S.-based white supremacist network. They linked back to Ron Paul, but not like he regularly met with American Third Position members. He even engaged in conference calls with them. And if you will do a little bit research on Ron Paul and Don Black, you will see that they will be standing nice and shaking hands. And Ron Paul has been taking donations from them. And that is just one point. If you look back at the newspaper, what he owns, and this is a long time ago, this is, let's see, this is back in 1987.
Yeah, Jeff, I've seen this. You're talking about Don Black, right?
Oh, yeah, Don Black. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, Don Black.
He took huge donations.
I saw a picture of him. Do they have more on him than that, or what?
That is a picture that he is standing with Don Black. That is just one picture. If you look at the information behind it, and he never denied it. He never denied that he took donations from them. He never wanted to give it back. And also, if you look at the newspaper, and you know what I'm talking about, if you look at the back, and this goes back to what Sarah said earlier.
Don Black's like a white supremacist guy, right?
Yeah, exactly. Hardcore. Very hardcore.
So he's sitting there taking a picture with him. What's the information behind the picture?
The information behind the picture, this was at a conference, I think it was from the organization from Don Black. I think it was a fundraising or something like that. He has been taking huge donations. I don't know the exact number, but if you look back at this, he won't deny it. He will not deny it. He never denied it. It's just something. He also published a news article, and he didn't write it himself. It probably was his staff. Let me see, what was the name? Is the tear up? Wait, let me see. Oh yeah, I see it right here. And he wrote about some. Well, if you look at it right now, just like Sarah said earlier, he didn't change any of his viewpoints. But if that is true, then he would have some horrible, horrible viewpoints on. Let me see, he's trying to fight the war on terrorism and the war on drugs. That is what he's claiming. I don't know the details of that. But he's saying a lot of crazy shit. Let's say from gay marriage and etc. He said, and I'm quoting, homosexuals, if admitted, should be put in a special category and not allowed in close physical contacts with heterosexuals. And this was about the military and the military industrial complex. And this was in, let me see, 1993. That's like
and
1 year before.
That?
This is what Ron Paul said. Well, this was his news his newspaper is what published this. And this has been going on for a few years. I don't know. No, it's not running anymore.
Yeah, if we let Joel and Sarah reply to those.
Is
these loose associations or deeper associations with some, far right groups and things that we've seen in the press? If you want to just answer that, then maybe expand on it a little bit, Joel and Sarah.
What's that? Is that for me?
No, it's for Joel and Sarah. Oh.
I understand there were letters, newsletters sent out from his campaign, but I...
Yeah, I'm pretty familiar with the newsletters, and I'm kind of familiar with Ron Paul's opposition to homosexuality. That's something that
we're
gonna I've been
talk,
looking
we're
at.
We're going to talk about his newsletters and racism, too, because they're, despite the fact that some people say that they're debunked, they are not.
They are really not.
They're not debunked.
I'm not saying they're debunked. Yeah, I haven't debunked them.
I'm not saying I have. But, okay. You know, I don't know. I guess we're going to get to that.
Icing on the cake. We're going to wait and icing that cake and deliver it to you guys at the end of the
party. That'll be the headshot. Yeah.
I wanted to wait, but okay.
It'd be interesting to hear Sarah and Joel's view on this. You know, are these things just Ron Paul working with his constituents and dealing with what their views are like, or is this something that's more deep-seated in his beliefs, his maybe what you call far-right or old-fashioned beliefs? What do you say, Sarah and Joel?
These newsletters are the only thing that I've ever heard or seen that's come from the Ron Paul campaign that can be construed as racist in any way, and there's no proof that Ron Paul sent those newsletters out personally. It came from his campaign. It could have been sent from anyone for any reason.
I think we'll get into the letters and stuff, but overall, I think that Ron Paul has a good following, and I think that's because he believes in very good things, very solid things. I'm sure we're going to bring up masonry later, but, you know, in the meantime, I mean, he's all about, anti-authoritarianism, you know, anti-statism, anti-militarism, free markets, free trade, free society, decentralization, you know what I mean, individual and national sovereignty, natural
legal
rights.
So basically common sense policy.
Yeah.
Basically, common sense policy, which makes it no different than ex-Sector Falzano when they say that 9/11 was an inside job. He's saying stuff that anybody with any kind of common sense in our movement already knows about, and that's why they agree with him.
I think he's one of the only politicians that's truly on the correct page, though. He's in the minority, but he's not the only one.
Again, like XSEC, he has accomplished very little. Out of 620 bills that he's sponsored in Congress, only four have ever made it to a vote, and only one of those four have ever been passed.
Ron Paul has done nothing.
He's done nothing.
That shows his loyalty to the Republican Party, though. You see what I'm saying? He's not a Republican. He runs outside the bounds. He is a lone wolf. He is the one guy who says no when everybody else is saying yes. And I think that's more of what we need.
At the same time, though, we don't know what kind of bills he's, I haven't looked up the kind of bills that he's passed either and how much pork is.
I have all the 620.
That's a lot of bills.
Or co-sponsored. We're talking about like abolishing federal financing of presidential election campaigns, removing troops from Afghanistan, removing armed forces from Libya, prohibits public funding for political party conventions, repeals the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act of 2010, religious freedom constitutional amendments, U.S. withdrawal from UN. Withdrawing approval from the World Trade Organization, Online Freedom of Speech Act. I mean, these are what he's co-sponsoring and sponsoring. So these are things that I'm all for.
Don't forget these two things, though, when you're tacking on all that great stuff. He did vote in favor of the war in Iraq, and he does not believe that 9/11 was an inside job.
That's true. And that's one that I'll admit that is one beef that I do have. He has publicly stated in a presidential election, a debate session. They asked him about 9/11 truthers, and he says, "I don't tell anybody to believe anything, but do I believe it? No." And he made that very clear. So
I think Ron Paul
did vote to go into Iraq, and it was based on faulty intelligence, and that was the debate at the time. And he listened to his Republican constituents. That's what he did. He listened to his Republican constituents, and he voted to go into a war that has cost us God knows how much money. And anybody with any kind of common sense knows that 9/11 was an inside job. He cannot accurately represent this movement because one of the central pieces of this movement is that we we know that 9/11 was an inside job, but Ron doesn't seem to think so.
But that's
I'd like to ask Joel and Sarah that if they think that Ron Paul really did believe 9/11 was an inside job, but he knows that he can't say that those words
that's
out loud.
That's what I'm thinking.
Do you think he loses anybody that believes otherwise?
I mean, that's when you start getting on these fringes that we're in, guys. Like, you know, you say one thing and that could just, you know, you lose, like, you know, 33% of people like that.
If he can't say that, and he has 600, and he sponsored 620 bills, only four have ever made it to the floor, only one has ever been passed, he can't support us when we say that 9/11 was an inside job, what good is he?
I don't think you can judge his effectiveness.
What has he done?
What
exactly can he do? What does he do for us?
You can't judge his effectiveness by what's passed, though, man. I mean, like, that's...
Well,
I'll put this to Evan and Jack.
How about the case for the fact that in a corrupt legislature, the Congress, if they're corrupt and he doesn't get anything through, isn't that a good sign? Now, if he got all this stuff through, then wouldn't that be more of a sign that he was in the establishment?
Mm-hmm.
If you would ask me, it's just another, you know, Ron Paul... On the outside, it looks like a perfect dude, like he got the best for the people. His intentions are with the people and for their rights. But I know more persons like that. They get in your emotions. They get in your, you know, your personal feelings. And I'm just looking at Alex Jones because I think he's another Alex Jones, but more on a higher level. If we look at Alex Jones, and I don't want to compare them too much, but it's... Actually, it's the same shit. It's all good on the outside, but who knows what the fuck they want to do when they really get into that position of power. And on the other hand, I got a question for Sarah and Joel. Would you actually vote for Ron Paul?
What was that?
I did vote for Ron Paul. I campaigned for Ron Paul. I was at the caucus. I voted for Ron Paul.
So you campaign for a guy that does not believe that 9/11 was an inside job. You campaign for a guy
you're never ever going to find a perfect candidate. Ask me one question at a time. Don't railroad me.
I'm just saying, basically,
because of his principles based on what he says and how he follows through with it and how consistent he is. And I think that that is very important. And whether or not he believes that 9/11 is an inside job, to me, is completely irrelevant. Doesn't negate his principles, doesn't negate what he says, and doesn't make it not true. Everything that he says is still true. What he believes is not my concern. He doesn't tell me what to believe. I'm not going to tell him what to believe or tell him what to say.
Well, you are right. He is consistent. He's a consistent racist, for starters.
I think it's really important, how consistent is his racism?
I think that that kind of stopped when the newsletter stopped. I haven't heard or seen anything since then, and that was from the early 90s to the mid-90s. So since then, can you give me an example of how his racism has portrayed in his
Do you think that because he got caught, his racism was cured?
I don't know what kind of question that is. That is a really weird question.
It's a common sense question. Do you think it's a roundabout question?
Because all of a sudden
he became remorseful and he's decided not to say anything disparaging about minorities anymore.
Mm-hmm. My question is, what happened is he got caught, and what he learned by getting caught is not to get caught again.
How do you get caught from publicly releasing newsletters? Once it's out there, it's out there. It's not like he got caught.
He did sort of lie and change his story a few times, too.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did. He did. He lied and changed his story.
Give me some examples of how. Give me an example of him changing his story on this. Because
well,
he
I would just
like
to bring up years after it happened.
Every time
five
I've heard
years
him say
after
him,
it happened, he tried to say they were never my words, but I had some. They were never my words, but I had some moral responsibility for them.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. He did. They
were
released under his name. If he did not write them or he did, that's it. That's it. He's responsible.
And on the Dallas Morning News, on the Dallas Morning News, when it began, Dr. Paul denied suggestions that he was a racist and said he was not invoking stereotypes when he wrote his columns. 5 years later, he says, they were never my words, but I had some moral responsibility for them. You should know better,
Evan,
sir, than
Evan
to ask
Jeff,
me for
I have a question
answer.
For you.
You know I'm going to have them ready.
Evan and Jeff, I have a question for you.
I'm not, I shouldn't know anything. All I'm asking is
we should
a
just,
simple
like,
example.
Take a look
you should
at
just
the
answer
letters.
The example and then leave it at that.
Oh, I see.
There's two right there. I mean, I can find more. But the fact is,
I have a question for Evan and Jack, if you if you would like to answer this, okay?
Right.
Now,
I would just
like
to
ask,
see better
like
political
ask,
opposition, honestly.
Like,
obviously, guys, I mean, nobody's going to be a Jesus, and obviously if they're a freaking politician, you know what I mean? So, I mean, obviously everybody's going to have their issues, but, you know, obviously that's why we're you know, chopping at this guy, right? We're seeing his goods and his bads, but what I want you guys to understand is just because he has one or two things wrong, which, yeah, absolutely may be problems, when you look at the bigger picture, you know, hey, that's true. You know, not everybody's perfect. And I think that the good that he has done and the movement that he's created and the awareness that he has created in America, you know, as an American citizen, he's been a part of my awareness, you know. And unfortunately, you know, it's true. We like to hack at people like this. You know, Jap kind of reference that you know, maybe he is a shill, or, you know, maybe he is like an Alex Jones, and it's possible, you know, but, you know, to people who bash, you know, Alex Jones and stuff, obviously I know there's some issues there, but I still, as a whole, kind of support the movement, so, because I want more people to be aware, I want more people thinking like us, I want more people being, you know, using reason, you know, and once you really start getting good at reason, from realizing the things that are going on, then you really will start to realize, yeah, hey, maybe Alex Jones is messed up. Maybe he does have some ulterior motives. Maybe he is tied to some stuff, you know?
Well,
but,
before Blair asked Jeff and I a question, I would just say that if people were to look for a role model in the movement, I wouldn't look for a guy who was quoted as saying in his Ron Paul newsletter in regards to Martin Luther King Jr. Day, we can thank him for our annual Hate Whitey Day.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, go ahead, Blair, and ask your question real quick. Oh, and I have, I have two sheets, by the way.
This question should balance out your last statement.
Let Blair go ahead. Blair, go ahead, man. Ask a question.
Yes.
Okay, this question was just trying to balance out this discussion about race. So I would like to ask you guys, if Ron Paul is so racist, then why was his drugs policy in effect, if it went into action, would release probably half or three quarters of the prison population, most of whom would be black and Latino?
Very true.
A racist person would not do that. So I'd like you to talk about that just for a minute or two, and then we'll move on to something else, okay?
Oh, yeah, I will take
your question is in regards to versus what he says in his personal life and his personal feelings in regards to minorities versus how he feels about the prison industrial complex, right?
Yeah, well, his policy on the prison industrial complex would basically mean three quarters of the people would be released because it'd be nonviolent drug offenses, and most of those people would be
black.
How is that racist?
I wrote a fairly good blog on the prison industrial complex and private prisons, and I would say that what Ron Paul says and how he really feels about the African-American race versus what he has to say about private prisons, I think it's pretty apparent. I think it's common sense. It's a political maneuver. He knows that the Republican Party, and because he's a Republican, let's not forget that, he knows that the Republican Party is at an all-time low for their minority votes, and he's doing whatever he can for his party. Now, you can say all day long that he's retired, he has nothing else to do with it, but we all know that politicians get involved on behalf of their parties. Look what Bill Clinton does.
I wouldn't trust his loyalty to the Republicans, man. Really, his voting record and his, you know, just because he had, you know, because he wore a different colored tie doesn't mean he was necessarily a Republican. I don't think you can just, like, claim his ultimate loyalty to them like that, you know?
But he is, right?
I'd say that he took advantage of the fact that no term limits have been imposed on members of the House 11 times under the banner of being a Republican. And I'd say that his work in private prisons, in my opinion, and Jim Jack can follow up after me, I'd say that that's a good way to cover up the fact that in 1996, when he said to late Texas Congresswoman Barbara Jordan, who's black, that he called her a half-educated victimologist. I would say that it's a good way for him to cover up the fact that when he said in 1992, if you've ever been robbed by a black teenage male, then you know how amazingly fleet-footed they can be.
But we're still debating whether he said that. Obviously, this was released under his name, you know.
No, these are things that he admitted to, and these are things that he later on said that they were never my words, but I had some moral responsibility for them.
Yeah, exactly. So they're not his words, but he has responsibility for them because they're printed under
his name. Well, we have to look at all the times that he's changed the story, and then I guess we have to pick out which time he changed the story that best suits our tender sensibilities.
If I would publish a newspaper and I would fill it with racial slurs and et cetera and everything, but I would have other people to write it for me, and then people would look at me because I'm the publisher, because the newspaper is mine, then I think to say that I have a moral responsibility is a little bit light, to say it like that, because he really was the man behind it. His staff and his campaign members, they all wrote the newspaper, and not much people notice, sadly, but he does a good job of, well, he doesn't cover it up, but he does a good job of avoiding it. You don't see the mainstream media get into this. I'm not saying that the mainstream media is a good thing or anything, but if they really wanted to discredit him because he's the almighty hero that he is pictured to be, why wouldn't they touch on that? Because if they get that out there, then he will lose 50% of all his votes just because of that. And I never saw them mentioning anything like that. I think CNN did it once, just once, and I think that's it. I really think that's it. It's just something, shit doesn't
matter. Well, likely he definitely has protection. You know, all politicians do. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah, but I'm not talking about that. I'm more talking about if they really wanted to discredit him, they could do it in no time. And they are not doing it. And I don't know why. But, yeah, to me it's the same story as most politicians. They all look good on the outside, but on the inside, you have no idea what the fuck you're up to. But we're going to go to Blair. I see he wants to ask questions.
Yeah.
Okay, so
okay,
here's my
question,
guys. I have a question.
Oh, okay.
Do you guys think Ron Paul has attained his status through deception or sincerity?
Deception.
I think deception. I'm not 100% sure, but that is what
it looks to me. He's a politician.
He's
an 11-time congressman. Of course it was through deception. You're telling me that he's the only person in Congress that's been elected over 10 times that's honest?
How is he still in Congress?
He's one of the only congressmen that wanted to audit the Fed.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he knew that shit was never going to happen. It's real simple. It's like somebody that
going to happen because nobody was talking about it until he started talking about
it.
The federal government.
He never knew it was going to happen. It's like people that fight over the internet. One person lives in Canada, the other person lives in Mexico. One guy says, you know what?
He spent a lot of time wasting his breath and a lot of speeches and a lot of hours on the Congress floor speaking about the Federal Reserve and wasting everybody's time, I guess, and his
That's
own.
True.
For nothing.
But it's not going to do anything.
For nothing, because nothing was ever going to come up.
Something needs to be done.
People
yeah,
are talking
true.
About it now, whether it's in Congress
saying,
or whether it's
I'm
people
saying
on the radio
nothing,
show.
I'm not saying that nothing
I applaud
should
his
be
effort,
done, but
honestly.
I'm saying that Ron
That's,
Paul knew
I mean,
well
you can sit there and
there
criticize him all day that he got nothing done, but, I mean, the fact that he tried and he actually did these things and he believed in them, and even though they were highly unpopular, you know, he still did them, and I find that
people,
admirable.
That's good.
People
and,
are having
and,
these conversations
the
right now about things
cool.
that are important and things that should be addressed that nobody was talking about before, and people are interested now, and we're having conversations about it today that might not have taken place if people would not have been exposed to Ron Paul. That's a lot of people's stepping stone into the truth.
I think he's a part of a lot of people's
really
awareness.
Problem, and he's the one speaking about it.
I think it's real easy to talk. I think it's real easy to talk about something and look big in front of people when you know it's never going to happen.
Okay, so we'll put this to Evan and Jack. Then, do you guys think that he took on the Fed and he's not sincere in it, and that he is basically trying to be the gatekeeper to make sure that minimal is done? Is that your beef with Ron Paul in this regard, as far as raising the issue of the Fed?
Well,
I don't think he's dishonest.
I don't think he's dishonest. It's an impossible goal. The federal government will never allow this. They will never, ever allow this. If that happens, there would be total fucking anarchy on the street. Not that I think that that's a bad thing, but it's just not going to happen. It's not realistic.
It has to be done, though.
It has to be done. I agree 100%, but it's not going to happen, and I don't think that a politician is going to save us from this. And even he looks...
Oh, I know that. Yeah.
Yeah, he looks
not
real
our
good.
Superman. We don't worship the ground that he walks on. We're not fans.
Oh, no.
Oh yeah, we're not like Obama supporters towards him, you know. don't do that feigning shit and whatnot.
We're very open to the possibility that he might not be entirely legit. I mean, he is a politician. We're not brainwashed idiots over here just worshiping the ground he walks on and think that he can do no wrong.
I don't think he's
obviously
perfect. That's what I'm trying to say. He's not a Jesus.
And a politician. So, of course, there's going to be something there in the back of your mind that says, well, this guy could most likely not be legit. But that doesn't take away from the fact that what he says is true.
Yeah.
And people should be listening to him.
Personally, he may not be the best character, but he has the right ideas to solve the problems that we need to solve, I think. And there's a lot to be said for that, in my mind.
And to say he didn't do anything, I mean, we're having a conversation right now, and a lot of the topics that are discussed that Ron Paul supports, I think are important, like the Federal Reserve and ending wars and foreign aid.
Okay, to balance things out then, I'll ask Sarah and Joel, do you not feel that even though some of these policies might be necessary, it's unnecessarily harsh on the poorest and most frail in society?
This is for Sarah and Joel?
That's for Sarah and Joel.
Okay. What was the question again?
Yeah, can you repeat it, please?
Yeah, sure. Given his monetary policies and what he plans to do, even though some of it may be necessary for the betterment of America as a whole, do you not feel that it's unnecessarily harsh on the poorest and most vulnerable in society?
To end the Federal Reserve?
Yes. You know, that to big shock to the system that a lot of libertarians say is needed.
Yeah, it's definitely... hard to say whether or not it would be successful to end the Fed, because then it's like, what would we go to? Because they've taken the gold, so there's no more wealth. All there is paper notes.
Mm-hmm.
So do you go to the barter system?
So do you feel the same, Joel?
We need to remove the curtains, and we need to let the manipulators who are, you know, benefiting because they know the moves they're going to make, they know what the market is actually doing, and they let their close friends in, good old Rockefellers and J.P. Morgans and people like that, you know,
Mm-hmm. We need to shake down the Fed, and you know, if possible, I don't even know. You know, obviously nobody knows how it's possible. How are we going to get back to a non-debt-based currency, you know?
Exactly. As long as the Federal Reserve exists, we're all pretty much wage slaves. We're in
debt. We used to have the power.
We owe on this $1 that we have, we owe a dollar and something on it. So until we get rid of the Federal Reserve, we're still going to have those chains. We're slaves to their dollar. And I would rather not be, you know.
Would you vote for Alex Jones if he would run for Congress?
I'm sorry.
A loaded question.
That's a really loaded question. But my point is that it looks like he's doing the good thing, but just like Alex Jones, and I hate to bring it up, but it is what it is, he has created a cult of personality. There's a lot of people following him. There's a lot of people worshiping him. I'm not saying that you guys do that, but there's a lot of people that do that.
There's a big difference between the damage that Alex Jones does, though, because he incites rage.
What is the difference?
He incites violence. He wants people out on the streets being violent.
He wilds out. Yeah. He wilds out. He makes us all look crazy.
Yes.
Okay, that's a good point. That's a very good point. But they both have created this following that they both got. And isn't it a coincidence that this, you know, congressional whistleblower is the only one that questions the Fed? Isn't that just a little bit odd? I don't know, maybe Evan has got a little bit of ring about this.
Evan, you want to come in?
I could really go on and on. I think that what's happened is Ron Paul has created for himself a cult of personality. And I think that the people that love Ron Paul believe that he can do no wrong. And he's extremely quotable. He's very good to quote. But when you look back at his actions and you look back at his voting records, they don't mix all that well with the vision that everybody has.
I think his voting records are pretty good, actually.
I mean, that people don't think that he can do any wrong, and both Joel and I just admit that there's a possibility that he could be not right, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Just because,
because
we sit here and we talk about the things we do and the things we believe in, you know, I believe in non-GMOs and shit, and then I go home and make a pizza or something, you know, that has GMOs all up in it. So, we're not all perfect, you know, so even the things that I believe in and promote, I occasionally will fall, you know. Nobody's perfect, that's what I'm saying, but, you know, I think we need to take him for, you know, his ideas, and I think the impact that he's had on people definitely outweighs the fact that he could have been a racist or something, because let's face it, how has he promoted racism, you know? I've read things saying
for free. And his supporters don't want to hold him accountable for it.
I never heard it come out of his mouth. It came out of a freaking newsletter that somebody else could have wrote, or he could have wrote. I didn't hear it come out of his mouth. So, of
he's
course, I'm not going
to
say
it,
he was
and then
matter
he's,
of fact.
And then he's,
yeah, he,
and then
he's
changed
admitted
the story.
To it. He said,
he's dancing around the newsletters, definitely.
You're taking it a different way.
No matter what, you'll refuse to believe it because of your fervent loyalty and adoration for it.
I'm not refusing to believe it. I'm not going to put 100% into something that I didn't hear come out of my mouth. You shouldn't either. But you can go ahead. I don't care, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say for sure whether or not he said it, but what I'm saying is that it's not
there's
really
a possibility
relevant.
He did, and there's a possibility he didn't, and we have to consider him both ways. And what I'm saying is that both ways, his good still outweigh the bad, you know? I mean, like, I don't know if you guys caught it, but I said, like, during the height of segregation, he was delivering babies, and he delivered, from what I heard, hundreds of colored babies for free. Like, I don't know
I wonder
if that's
if
what
I
you
would
do when
say
you
that
black,
if I would
you
have
know?
Said that Ron Paul has never said a racist thing in his life, and he's one of the most least bigoted people that I've ever met that I would get
I don't
just
think
as much
anybody
of a
said
protest.
That. I don't think anybody said that.
If I would get just as much of a protest and you would tell me the same thing. Well, I don't know if he did or he didn't. He could be the biggest racist I've ever met. We don't know. No, I don't think that anybody would say anything. I think the mere fact that I suggested it, and I do have proof of it, that's why I got so much of a protest from it.
Okay, let's take it to the next question.
That's what I think.
Okay?
Jack, what would you say?
About what?
What?
About what would I say about what?
I mean...
Am I missing something? Oh, shit.
Okay, well, let's move on to foreign policy just now then. Why don't Sarah and Joel explain some of Ron Paul's foreign policy, and then Evan and Jap can contract it if they want, and then they can make some points afterwards.
Okay.
Who do you want to go to first on foreign policy?
Yeah, Sarah and Joel, if they just want to outline Ron Paul's foreign policy and if the benefits or what have you of that.
Well, you know, Ron Paul's a fort. You guys go ahead. So let's Sarah and Joe go ahead. We'll pass to you guys, and then Jeff and I will clean up the mess.
All right. So.
Oh my gosh! Really?
Jesus Christ. Okay, go ahead, guys. Come on.
Obviously, we're looking at what we were talking about before: anti-militarism, non-foreign intervention, anti-war kind of efforts, limited government, you know, voluntary society, no draft.
His stance on foreign aid is that foreign aid is taking money from poor people in a rich country and giving it to rich people in a poor country. Those are his words. That's his stance on foreign policy and foreign aid.
I agree. Okay,
so he doesn't believe that we need to be funding Israel. He doesn't believe we need to be funding any of these countries.
He believes in
that
defense if
we
are attacked.
Our money.
He opposes all military, political, and economic interventionism in the affairs of other nations. Calls the fractional reserve banking a form of fraud.
He wants to end all of the wars and bring the troops home.
End all wars and bring the troops home.
He's focusing on the problems at home, you know, not creating more problems by mixing things up with money and politics in places that we shouldn't even be in.
Right.
And I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, so there's some really good points there made by Sarah and Joel, you know, but is a completely non-interventionist policy really workable in this day and age? And what are your views, Evan and Jack?
Well, Evan, you go ahead. I'll second this.
You
want
to take this, Evan?
I'd be happy to offer a rebuttal to that. As far as him wanting to bring everybody home, again, I got to go back to the fact that he voted for war in Iraq based on garbage intelligence, something that he should have known better about. And
most people didn't know, you know what I mean?
I knew that there wasn't anything. I sat on my couch and said that there was nothing over there, that it was bullshit. And I'm sitting on my couch saying we shouldn't be going to war. I'm not Secret Service. I'm not CIA. I wasn't, he was an 8-term congressman back then. So how did I know more than Ron Paul? That's almost fucking impossible.
He should know better.
But I knew that we shouldn't have gone to war in Iraq again. And as far as him not believing the...
I call it a knee-jerk reaction, you know?
That's pretty much the only intervention he's ever voted for. To get back to 9/11, if he believes in the official 9/11 story, then what does he suggest America do to retaliate for that? If he believes in the official 9/11 story, then does he just think we shouldn't do anything about it?
That's why he voted for that intervention. I don't think he knows who did it. I think he was under the impression, believing, you know, Rumsfeld and all them saying, oh, Saddam, and they got Al-Qaeda hotbed in Iraq, and they've got weapons of mass destruction. And, you
that
know,
was his point,
like I
right?
said, knee-jerk reaction, we were just attacked. I'm just saying, you know, this is one thing that, yeah, he probably was wrong on, and so were most people, but if you look at any other possibility of intervention, he's avoided all of them while other people have been ready to go, you know.
And, you know, throughout all this, I've heard a lot of, you know, yeah, he's made mistakes this, he's made mistakes when he's done that, blah, blah, you know, we've all made mistakes. You know, there's a big difference between, you know, me in the kitchen and overcooking a steak and making a mistake, and then Ron Paul making a mistake by voting to send people to Iraq. I mean, when regular citizens make mistakes, it's not comparable to a politician voting to send Americans into
you can't say he was responsible for sending them there, though. Like, he didn't do it by himself, you know what I mean?
So, no, he jumped on the bandwagon with a bunch of other idiots.
I understand how it doesn't make sense to have a non-interventional, you know, ideal and then vote to go to war in Iraq. But at the same time, I feel like that was a very emotional time for some people. You know what I mean? There was
That's
a lot of patriotism. I had multiple friends that joined the Marine Corps and the Army and stuff, you know?
Exactly.
You know, so,
that's how they work. They're getting your emotions, and that's how they drag you in.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a sneaky fucking trick. And I'm afraid, or not afraid, I'm concerned that is what's going on right now. Oh, look at this person. He's a real fucking patriot. Look at what he's doing. Look at what he wants. But he's not doing shit. I'm not saying that, of course he is trying if he is sincere in his actions and his words. I don't know. I'm not him. But you know, if you look at it, yeah. I don't know. It's just, they really, Ron Paul, he really gets on people who know a little bit on their emotional side. And they can drag him in. And who the fuck knows what he can do with that? You know, you just don't know.
There's the right question right there. What can we do with that, you know? What has been done? I mean, let's look at the most, like, the worst thing that's probably come out of that. And I will admit it, probably the Tea Party movement. I don't know if you guys are for it or against it, but he is definitely a movement behind that. And I suppose that's where you're going with that.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very good example. That's a very good one.
All right, so, Jack and Evan, do you feel that Ron Paul intentionally knows that he may be a release valve for a lot of these tensions, or do you think he's unwittingly just being allowed to play that role?
I think
he's an 11-term congressman, Blair. He doesn't do anything unwittingly.
Okay, so you think you know the score. The important point I always want to make about this is, I find really interesting, is you remember the big anti-war movement when Bush was in office and how that disappeared. Do you feel that maybe Ron Paul became a focus for the anti-war movement, even those on the left? Because a lot of people on the left, they really liked a lot of what Ron Paul was talking about, and he's, you know, not intervening in war and all this. Do you think it was just to have somebody on the right as a release valve for this pressure to build up in society against the war?
I think Ron Paul does what he does best, and he manipulates the people. He comes out like a man of peace, and I don't think he could give a shit one way or the other. Just look at his voting record. He voted to go into Iraq for war.
I think Blair answered his own question. Because there was really
and despite the mountains of evidence, he refuses to believe, and he refuses to come out and say that 9/11 was an inside job, because he cared more about his political career than he did the American people.
Oh yeah, that's
and telling the truth.
A real
he cared more about his career than he did about the truth. And the truth is this: what happened that day, which is completely different than what we were told, and he refuses, because he lacks the spine to do so, to come out and say it. He knows it as well as anybody else. If he was really on our side, he'd admit the truth.
Amen.
Okay, let's hear Joel and Sarah.
I think he's trying to end the people that caused it, though, you know what I mean? If, you know, 9/11, his policies would have eliminated that whole issue, probably. And that's what, you know, that's the biggest thing for me is, like, honestly, like, almost a lot of our problems could seriously be solved by a lot of his ideas and decentralization and all that.
He says, and he's been one of the first and one of the only people to talk about blowback, is that likely it was an attack because we were somewhere we weren't supposed to be.
Yeah, Evan, I feel that in a way that this is kind of proof for Sarah and Joel's part, because you think he went on stage and he talked about blowback and he got booed from the audience. Now imagine if he'd gone up there and said it was an inside job. It would have been over for him, and he could never have done anything he wanted to do, even if that meant just leaving a legacy of libertarian to go out and do some work. Do you know what I mean?
You know what? He's about as popular as he's going to get. And if he would have gone up there and he would have admitted, not admitted, but told the truth that it was an inside job, he would not have lost any fans, because any fans he already has believes that it's an inside job. It's just that most of those fans don't know that he doesn't believe, or not that he doesn't believe it, that he refuses to admit it. Most of his fans are unaware that he refuses to admit publicly that it was an inside job, while at the same time most of those fans believe that it was.
Is that satisfying to you, Evan and Jack, that sort of answer that, you know, he thinks it, but he knows he can't say it because it would be political suicide? Is that not satisfactory for you?
No, it's not satisfactory for me at all. He's a guy that campaigns on being honest and telling the truth and being for the people. And in one of the most important times in history, whenever he could take the side of the people, he's chosen to remain silent.
Okay, so he stood up to the plate on a lot of issues, but he refused to stand up to the plate on that, and that's really annoying you? You think
If he were to stand up to the plate on 9/11, then it would expose the roots of a tree that has grown, that has borne nothing but harmful civil rights fruit for America.
Oh, yeah.
And he refuses to do that. And I believe that we all know why he refuses to do that, because despite the fact that he's not running for office, he still wants to maintain his political connections. I believe that Ron Paul is the textbook example of controlled opposition.
I think it's possible that he doesn't know for sure what happened, and so he declines to comment on it. Can you imagine what would happen if he did say something with his following?
How can you not know it? The evidence is so fucking overwhelming.
Because he's touching people that, you know, for instance, Alex Jones isn't touching. You know, we're talking about mainstream type, you know, conspiracy theorists.
Alex Jones has a huge crowd behind his back.
How many people on this phone call right now knows that 9/11 was an inside job?
I don't know. Everybody knows, I think.
Jeff, was 9/11 an inside job?
No, man, the cookie.
I'm serious. I just want to know real quick. Jeff, do you think 9/11 was an inside job, yes or no?
Yes, of course.
Blair, what do you think?
Yeah, for sure.
Sarah?
Yeah, Captain Faggot.
Joel, what do you think? 9/11 was an inside job?
I think it was an outside, inside-outside job. Like, at first they were outside, then they went inside and placed the explosives, and then they came back outside.
So the official story was bullshit. The official story was bullshit then, right?
Yeah. We all know that Jeff Hill doesn't melt steel.
Okay. And we know this, and we're not even in Congress, and Ron Paul is supposed to be the champion of fringe politics. He is not championing for us whatsoever. He is not doing a good job whatsoever. The very biggest thing that has resulted in our civil rights being eroded.
That is 9/11.
At hyperspeed, he refuses to take a stand on it. And not only does he refuse to take a stand on it, it's not a I don't want to comment thing. He flat out denies it, and he knows better.
He also doesn't think that just because we were attacked means that we should all leave our civil liberties behind either. He doesn't support the Patriot Act or anything like that.
I think Evan has a very good point, because a lot of what Ron Paul talks about is the erosion of our civil liberties, and
yes.
I think you're onto something, Evan, because, you know, if he talks
he
all about
want,
this,
he doesn't want to talk about the source of it.
He
doesn't want to talk
yeah,
about the source.
He knows he's got to know what the source is, so.
The source.
And who would know better about the source than an 11, and I'm stressing the number, an 11-term congressman?
Okay.
He knows better. That's the
people
thing.
Were probably happy with him, man.
I mean, I got a huge problem with the fact that he's an 11-term congressman. I mean, term limits.
I don't know.
Anybody?
Like, I don't know. Let's look at that. I mean, possibly. Let's see here. He's a congressman, so he is a representative of the people, and he's reelected. So the people reelected him 11 times.
Is a Congress member representative
the
ones
that won
the people what they wanted and they were happy, and that's not good? Or
then we should repeal the 22nd Amendment and let people vote for Obama again.
Oh shit! I think we need to go to the
yeah.
next question.
Debating.
I almost
debating
just lost my lunch.
Debating the name sucks. Really sucks.
Okay, let's move on to the next question. I'll put it to everybody,
I'm happy
and
you
maybe, maybe we'll get Evan and Jap to speak first to this. If you just want to
yeah.
speak about the way that Ron Paul was treated in the mainstream media, okay, and start with Evan and Jap. Because
okay.
I feel that he was ignored, and if somebody is a gatekeeper, why would they ignore them, or is that part of the whole plan? Over to you, Evan and Jap.
You want to go first, brother, or do you want me to go first?
You go first. I'll take it after that.
I believe that he was ignored so loudly in the mainstream media that it got a bunch of attention from him in the mainstream media.
He is
interesting.
Big in the mainstream media now.
Okay. So it's like the double bluff.
Reverse psychology.
Yeah.
That could be a good point. Well, my view on this, why was he being ignored by the media? Because he was being ignored by the media. But if you look in the end, he is there now. He has been there for a long time. You know, you could say it doesn't really matter if the mainstream media ignores him, because he will get his point out, because he is doing it. That's why we are having this debate. It's a good question. I'm not really sure how to answer it, because mainstream media is so fucking tricky these days. It's the same like Edward Snowden. If they didn't want to get it out, why did they get it out? You can look at it in a reverse way. I don't know. It's always worth
questioning.
I'd like to follow up on what Jeff said real quick, too, before we move on to Joel and Sarah.
Okay,
so since you're done, Jeff, pass it to me.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
But it's just that, you know, like when I said that the more he's ignored, the louder he screams in mainstream media, by ignoring him in mainstream media, it allows him to be flooded and propagandized through alternative media quite a bit and shut down everybody's throats. And by doing so, with the title behind his name, it makes him appear as if he is the closest person to the top that we have. And
okay.
that he's the only person we have to look to.
Okay, so they're making him a focal point nonetheless.
I believe that they're controlling the options, and I believe that he's an option. I believe that they're going to use him to represent us whenever he'll never be elected.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's hear from Sarah and Joel and why they think he was ignored by the media so much and the effects of it. Do you guys think that if he'd been given a fair shot in the American media, the mainstream media, that he could have won that election?
You can go ahead.
I don't know. To be honest with you guys, like, I didn't really start paying attention until like maybe a year and a half ago. So, you know, I'm catching up on, you know, I got to go back through my DVR and look at things. But, you know, honestly, I don't think he could have took it, because there's too much opposition to him. And, you know, nobody, like you guys said, nobody's going to audit the Fed. Nobody's going to end the Fed. Nobody's going to be fiscally conservative. Nobody's going to make sure we have a balanced budget. I mean, this much is obvious, you know. So, I mean, he has great ideas, and those are ideas that would probably fix our problem, but will they go through? Probably not.
Problem.
Do I admire him for doing so? Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. By the way, we totally forgot. Are we still taking calls?
We have a debate to finish up. Next show we do, when we come back, we can take calls.
Yeah, I think we have to do it like that. Okay.
We've got an excellent debate going on, and I know banks quite well, and so do you guys. So, if anybody wants to talk global banking or something like that, they can do it with me afterwards. I wrote 25 pages on the Rothschilds. So we can talk IMF, IRS, we can talk the biz bank, we can talk whatever they want to talk about.
Okay, well, let's before we move on to the next thing, let's hear from Sarah what she thinks about the mainstream media's treatment of Ron Paul.
I think it could have been used either way. I think it could have been used for a controlled opposition kind of thing. But really, I think that certain things were placed where they wanted them, and they didn't want Ron Paul in the media because I think that his ideas are very popular, and once they start spreading, it's going to destroy a lot of things that people are invested in, and they don't want those things destroyed. I think that people, would have been more receptive to him if he had been portrayed differently in the media or at all, because I remember, I think it was either the first or the second Republican debate where all of them were on the stage, and he got maybe, I think, a minute and 48 seconds of talk time throughout the whole debate, and it was a 90-minute debate. So there was obviously some shunning from the media with him. They didn't want him talking a whole lot. And it could be, because they thought, well, the people who support Ron Paul will get really angry about it. But I really think that what else were they going to do? We weren't getting anywhere anyway.
If you're a Ron Paul supporter, you get put on a terrorist list. That means you're doing something right.
Right. I don't think they wanted his message to get across, and I think that they knew how popular it would be if they gave him the right media attention. So I think that I tend to believe that's more why they did than they kept him out of the media as much.
Well, I got a question.
When I remember back to 2008, like I remember just seeing like random cars, like kind of like, fringe type people having like Ron Paul, and they're all about it, and I'd see signs here and there, but really it wasn't even about him. And from my perception, I really don't even remember seeing too much. I remember back then being like, who is this guy? And people being like, oh yeah, if you like to smoke pot, then you should vote for him because he's going to legalize it. That's pretty much all I knew about him back then. So, but I didn't see much about him, that's for sure.
Okay, well, it's an interesting point to bring up, because everybody kind of, we're focusing on Ron Paul, but really all the work was done by the supporters. So
what I kind of feel like too.
Yeah, go to Evan and Jaap, and let's hear your thoughts on Ron Paul supporters and why you think they're not doing the right thing, even though they were the most galvanized, politically aware, in air quotes, members of the American citizenry.
I don't.
You want to know why we think they're left out of the media?
No.
Just your thoughts on their supporters. Yeah.
You want to go ahead and go first, Jeff, and let me follow.
I will go first. There's nothing wrong with Ron Paul supporters. The same like there's nothing wrong with Alex Jones supporters. They see him and they speak a lot of truth. Ron Paul and Alex Jones, they speak a lot of truth. But they are hiding something. Most people don't know what. I don't know exactly what they are hiding. But it's not the people. It's the person they are following. And I don't see why people have this urge to be led by persons. Let alone a radio figure like Alex Jones or a politician like Ron Paul. There's absolutely nothing wrong with being a Ron Paul supporter. But it's still a politician. They suck the fucking earth dry. That is my opinion on it. Maybe Ron Paul not as much as the others, if you would look at it like that. But you can't really blame it on the people. It's like people have been misled. All the people have been fooled since fucking decennia. If it's not longer. If you would ask me, I don't see why would you have to look up at a person like this. You can do the shit yourself, because the people, Ron Paul isn't doing anything. So why would you support him that hard? Because he is not gonna make a change. It's a nice fairy tale, you know. But I don't see it happening. You know, that's my point. Go ahead, Evan.
Well, I mean, I think it's quite simple. I mean, our movement, it's encouraged for us to not watch a lot of TV, right?
Yeah.
So it seems to me like every time I log in on the Internet, I get on Facebook, there's hundreds of people sharing Ron Paul pictures. There's Ron Paul memes. There's Ron Paul dressed up like Morpheus from The Matrix. I think he's saturated in alternative media. And I get just as sick of seeing him as I do Barack Obama. I think they're both liars. I don't think that anybody can be an 11-term congressman in Texas and not be a liar. Just like any politician, they're going to find a place to oversaturate him, and they have.
Okay, let's
see
if that's
why he's not on TV so much, because he's not mainstream media, or he's not alternative media material, but by God, he's oversaturated in alternative media.
It's a politician.
So he gets exposure.
Okay, well, let's hear from Joel and Sarah about the Ron Paul supporters and the effect that they've had.
Say that one more time.
I'd just like to hear your views on the Ron Paul supporters and the effect that they had in the political system.
I think that's part of the driving force behind it all, is the fact that this is, you know, while, you know, you say everybody, like, worships him, it's kind of the ideas that he has, and when people, you know, like Sarah said, it's popular and it's somewhat addictive, you know. It's addictive to want your own individual rights, especially when they're being, you know, taken away from us and stomped all over the way they are lately. So, I mean, it's very, this is like, to many people, including myself, this does kind of feel like an answer towards this. And so, you know, I think that's definitely part of the power behind it, and that this seems to be like what they call like grassroots, you know. You got people, you know, coming from all places, all walks of civilization. You got, you know, Republican, Democrat, you know, all these people. They're actually just uniting for the Constitution and for liberty, you know.
So you feel that he's at least offering solutions to some of these problems.
Yeah, and
I listen to anybody who speaks well and speaks about issues that are important and tries to do things. And I don't look too much behind the motive or anything, like, because I assume that most of the time it's going to be that they have another agenda. But if what they're saying is correct, I'll listen to it. Like Jesse Ventura, I know we're some of us are fans of Jesse Ventura.
So would even Evan admit that sometimes Ron Paul does say good things? Let's hear from
Evan. He says a lot of good things, and I think that a lot of the things that he says are worth listening to, because he talks about all of the issues and most of the issues that people should be paying attention to.
Well, any good liar has to say things that are clever and believable, or nobody's going to
be able to follow
the rest of their disinformation.
Well, there's no lying in
saying
that the Fed needs to be audited and ended, and that we need to have free markets, and that we need individual natural rights to freedom, you know.
It's really
and,
easy
you
to
know,
say
and
it.
Anybody
it's,
can
no
say it, but anybody,
that,
anybody
you know
can
I mean?
Say it, but not many people are saying it. Not enough people are saying it who have the voice to say it. We can say it here on this radio show all day, but we're not reaching the kind of people that we would if we had the kind of exposure that
I would just like to challenge you to name another congressman who's has the same stance and beliefs and has challenged the system, per se, you know what I mean? The way he has, you know.
I actually have a Twitter feed full of members full of junior members of the House of Representatives that say it all the time. I didn't think to make that list, but I will post it immediately following the show because there are plenty that do say it. There are plenty.
Okay, then. Blair, next question, I think.
Yeah, what else?
Okay,
what else?
Well, let's talk about maybe some of the legacy that might have been left behind. If Sarah and Joe would like to, you know, express how, what they feel the long term, what he's done long term for Americans, and then we can hear what Jap and Evan have to say. Okay, over to Sarah and Joe.
Okay,
what's the long term benefits?
What I'm saying is he's going to be known for people who knew him closely. He's going to be known for delivering babies. You know, you always remember he's the doctor who delivers your kid, at least I do. So that's one thing. Definitely his ideas, I mean, we keep hitting the same thing. His ideas on libertarianism and individual freedom and rights is going to be key.
I think
that
thing about personal responsibility, that's going to be a long-lasting...
I haven't touched that enough. I brought that up earlier, but yeah, having free will and taking responsibility for your actions, if everybody could just do that, we'd be great.
Yeah. Good words. Very good words.
Honestly,
the idea is outlive the man.
You know?
It's the idea that good laws don't create good people. You know, and you don't need government in every aspect of your life telling you exactly what to do at every single moment of your life. And that's pretty much what they're closing in on right now.
Isn't the politician
Has anyone... Evan, have you filled out your application for Obamacare yet?
you know I haven't. You know I have no intention on doing so. I tried,
they,
but they wouldn't let me sign
really
up under Barry Satoro.
It wouldn't let you sign up because the system is overloaded. And even though they paid fucking millions
for that
shit.
The kind of invasive questions that are in this... The requirement for Obamacare, when you fill out your application for Obamacare, they want to know pretty much every aspect of your life. And that's going to be connected into your health care and your health insurance and your premium.
Yeah, they're going to have to find me.
Yeah, pretty
you
much.
You wanted to sign up, but they already did. What is wrong?
We don't like that, and we don't want people telling us what the fuck to do and knowing our business.
Yeah.
Very true. What does Ron Paul think about Obamacare? I have no idea what Ron Paul's stance is on Obamacare. Does anybody here know that? I have no idea.
He absolutely abhors it. He does not like any kind of universal health care. He does not like Medicaid. He does not like Medicare. He was a physician. He was a doctor, delivered babies, and a lot of times he would have patients who would come in on Medicaid, government-assisted health insurance. And he would not accept their Medicaid. He would instead treat them for free.
Great.
Yeah, there's actually an Affordable Care Act of 2010 thing that he definitely voted against.
Well, that's a good thing. You can't blame him. That. Very true. We got about...
I mean, he's definitely against socialized health care, you know?
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, that was just my random question because I didn't know what the stand on that was. We have about 15 minutes left, I think. Blair, do you got any other questions? Just shoot them.
Okay, well, I was just thinking about the similarities between what happened with the Tea Party when it first initially started and the Ron Paul movement and Occupy, because these two groups seem to have an awful lot in common, more in common than they had differences, actually. And I think it's interesting that they never got together. And I would be interested to hear from everybody why you think that is the Occupy and the Tea Party has never gotten together. If they joined forces, it could have been a really strong political force.
Was
it because
Occupy
Wall Street doomed to fail?
Orchestrated by Zionists,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And do you think
they've both
been co-opted? Occupy was co-opted and the Tea Party was co-opted as well?
I think yes, personally. Because Occupy Wall Street, it didn't lead to anything good. It did open a lot of people's eyes, but, you know, a lot of people are doing that these days. Alex Jones, Ron Paul, Occupy, Anonymous, anybody can have that impact. you know, Occupy Wall Street, it was orchestrated by Zionists and the Tea Party movement. I think it just wants to get rid of big government, but not for the reasons that we think big government should go away. I think that the Tea Party movement, it's a good front for something that it's not representing. You know, I think they hold all the cards. There is not a joker for us. Well, maybe there is, but we don't know it yet. But I'm afraid that they hold all the cards, and from all the politicians. And we didn't even get into the Freemasonic area. You know, that's a whole. I think we could do an entire fucking show on that, because I just got so much info on that. Yeah, to be honest, I think with the Tea Party movement and Occupy Wall Street, I think it's all been. If you look at the Illuminati card games, and I know it's a little bit out there, but almost everything that, you know, everything that was on the card games, it has gone through, or it has to come through, because it's just crazy. The card games, they were made by a person who hacked the database of the CIA, and he made a card game with that. And there's also a picture, and you can see, well, you could say it's Alex Jones and Ron Paul, and I can upload that shit later. It's just crazy. It's just really crazy, and I'm afraid that they are holding all the strings and all the cards in the house. You know, but
yeah.
Let's give it to Evan to finish this up.
Yeah, so hear what Evan has to say about this.
What's that?
Well, what do you reckon, Evan? Do you think the Tea Party and Occupy were started with good intentions and were taken over, or do you think they were started intentionally to be a distraction?
I tend to believe that they started off with good intentions and bad intentions at the same time. I think that they were created to cause a lot of problems, but there were also people there at the beginning in the grassroots that didn't know that it had good intentions at the
exactly.
same time. And
my point.
I think that's how it happened with them. I really do.
I think it was started with bad intentions, but good people follow it. And I think it's the same with Ron Paul. It started with bad intentions, but good people follow it. You can't blame the people for it, because most people don't know better. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Just like Occupy Wall Street.
What do Joel and Sarah think about all this? Do they feel that Ron Paul's movement was infiltrated a little bit towards the end, and there were people there that shouldn't have been there, and, you know, there's links with the Tea Party, it's changed a lot, yeah?
Well, you guys know who Kokesh is, man.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. There's a perfect example.
That's a real cocksucker.
Let's go ahead and film myself in the middle of Washington D.C. loading a shotgun.
Yeah, perfect.
I'm all for peaceful, nonviolent, non-aggressive principle. It totally looked to me like he was trying to make people angry and try to make people do something.
Yeah.
So I think that there's definitely a faction of that involved.
Very true.
Yeah, I think whenever you're seeing people who talk about violence or they're over infatuated with guns and stuff, I think that's always a bad sign, because that's their game.
Uh-huh. Definitely. If we win this, guys, it's obviously not going to be through gunfights. I mean, we all know that.
If one person is going to shoot around, then the state will go crazy. That's exactly what they want. They want people to become aggressive. Because then they can do everything they already have planned. And that's the sick trick about them. That's really the sick trick from government.
And that is how it's dangerous, because all they do is they go fishing.
Oh yeah, very true. They go fishing, and when they got somebody on the hook, they can get them in. So Evan, you go ahead.
Yep. Well,
Captain Faggot, speak up.
Well, I'm just gonna go ahead and finish this. I'm gonna finish this guy off, I think, and just I guess had enough about. I think I've heard enough about Ron Paul. Here are more than ten reasons why you guys shouldn't like him. For one, he's wanted to and continues to want to repeal the Civil Rights Act. Okay, for people that don't know, the 1964 law that made segregation illegal and outlawed discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, yada, yada, yada.
What a coincidence.
I think it goes a little further than that.
The second thing is He's also against the American with Disabilities Act. He is against public health care. He wants to dissolve the public education system.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
He
thinks
global warming is a hoax, which I agree to a point.
I do too.
I agree.
But it also needs to be investigated further. he does not believe in evolution.
Yeah.
He's against federal safety standards. He is radically pro-life.
It's all government.
Pro-life.
He's not radically pro-life. He's pro-life. He's not radically pro-life. He's a physician. He's a doctor. He delivered babies. He doesn't believe in abortion.
Yeah, he's not an aborter of babies. He's a deliverer.
Yeah.
He wants to do away with all foreign aid.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
He wants to pull out of the United Nations.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He's against the minimum wage.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Oh, no.
I don't like the minimum wage.
He believes that there is a war being waged against Christianity.
I believe that.
Perhaps. Could be.
I
think they're always
voted,
they've always been plotted against each other.
I think it's a war against morality.
He has voted to build a fence across the border with Mexico.
He voted to build a fence. That's good.
I don't know about that.
I live in Arizona.
Look it up. And as a matter of fact, I would wage money. I'd wage money that you find that it's
true. I'm not denying it. I'm saying I don't know if I agree about it.
He is against the Occupational Health and Safety Act. He wants the United States to seize control of the Panama Canal. He thinks that interstate highways are unconstitutional.
What the fuck? Why the fuck?
What does that mean?
That's my exact question. What the fuck is that about?
You mean the part about interstate highways? You're probably getting the impression by now that Ron Paul thinks that pretty much everything the federal government does is unconstitutional. That's because Ron Paul thinks that pretty much everything the federal government does is unconstitutional. He has even argued against interstate highways. Saying that Eisenhower knew he was bending the law when he built them. Ron Paul figures that he has said and figures that interstate highways are a violation of states' rights. He is, in fact, against interstate highways.
What the fuck does that mean?
I'm not aware of that. I can kind of understand it because that's like a national kind of thing, but I don't know.
He's also
homophobic. He's looking at decentralization of everything. Yeah.
He's also homophobic, and he seems to be a bit on the racist side too.
A little bit.
You had all those things together with everything that we said before.
I don't see him. He's a Christian. He really is. He doesn't believe in gay rights, if that's what you're talking about, and he doesn't believe in women's rights. He believes in individual rights. But
that is one
he
doesn't
believe in telling other people
credit.
What to do. What you do
he
in your own stores is your own business.
He gets
and
a lot of credit for being the one Republican candidate who isn't homophobic. He gets credit
for being the one that isn't pro-gay marriage either because he doesn't think that marriage is constitutional either.
He is not
mostly
just saying
because
it's
he says that the federal government has no business telling people what to do in their private lives, and
exactly.
He's come out, and I'm not finished. It gets better.
Okay. Let's do it.
And he's come out against a constitutional ban against same-sex marriage. but it's really not that clear where he stands. His reason for being against the ban is that he believes marriage laws should be left up to the individual states or to the church. When some
yes.
states began to pass laws legalizing same-sex marriage, he fought to make sure other states wouldn't have to recognize those marriages as legal. See where the hypocrisy comes in there? He's also
no,
for don't ask, don't tell,
no.
and has voted and has voted to defund
no,
the
actually,
organization.
No, actually, he voted against that, I'm pretty sure.
I don't think that's true. Yeah, yeah.
Pretty
I'll have
sure,
to
yeah,
see that. You can post a link or something to that.
Look it up.
I want to see it.
He has,
I will.
He has
you
also,
can post the link. You're the one. I'm not going to look it up. You have to prove it. This debate.
You would so not before
post
that.
The link or something.
Okay, we got to wrap
he
up.
Has, he has voted to defund any organization which presents male or female homosexuality as an acceptable alternative lifestyle, or which suggests that it can be
okay.
an acceptable lifestyle. As for his own personal attitude toward the gay community, well, as an ex-staffer who defended Paul against charges of homophobia did so by claiming he only knew of two times that Ron Paul did something homophobic. The time he swatted away a gay man's hand rather than have to shake it, and the time he refused to go to the washroom at the same time that there was a gay man in it.
Okay.
That sounds like you're
right.
And, you know, and we talked about his, and this is eyewitness
account.
What about
that Hooters and Ron Paul was next to me when I was peeing and he looked over the stall. I was really mad.
And he also, as we stated many times earlier, appears to be quite racist.
Okay.
Paul has been haunted by the accusations of racism pretty much since the whole campaign.
He has many black supporters, though.
And
a lot.
That doesn't mean of course he has black supporters, but that doesn't mean he likes them.
Not,
supporters that are interested in liberty.
Yes.
And with good reason. He
oh
loved
the idea.
Not the only we have not discussed the letters or whatever, but if
we
he has published newsletters under his own name, which he said unbelievably racist.
Joel and Sarah, you've got a couple of minutes to make a point about Ron Paul that you'd like to
He says unbelievably racist things. Unbelievably racist
when?
Things. Things like
since when? Since the newsletter. Since the newsletter. Since the mid-90s. When?
Okay, so all of a sudden he had an epiphany and he's no longer racist?
I'm not convinced. I am not entirely convinced that these newsletters are something that came from him directly that he wrote and
I like the
signed
fact
off
that he's
on completely knowing that was what was going to be published.
He didn't
well,
wrote
the more
it,
he got
he
caught,
it.
The more he got
There's
caught, the more he changed his story too. So
I don't see the proof of that.
We gotta wrap it up.
I don't see the proof of it either way.
Evan, we gotta wrap it up. Joel and Sarah, you could say a very quick last statement because we barely got time left. So go ahead. Well, let's start with Joel.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
about
let's each take a minute. Let's each take a minute to close out. Joel, thank you for being with us. So you go ahead and say your piece. And then we'll move on to Sarah, then to Blair, then Jeff, then to me. So you guys go ahead.
There's 90 seconds left.
Okay.
30 seconds.
Okay,
back.
Well,
yeah,
now,
so
for me, honestly, with Ron Paul, the way I feel about his sincerity is that his sincerity is true. I do not feel truly deceived by his practices, policies, etc. I generally support what he is for in regards to individual rights, individual sovereignty, national sovereignty, free markets, free society, voluntary society, all that kind of stuff I'm totally for. I'm for auditing the Fed. I'm for these kinds of things. I feel personally, and this is obviously debatable, or will it will be, but I feel that his voting record does speak for itself and that his actions do speak for themselves, much more so than the negative things that have been brought up. And I think
Sarah, what do you think?
I love Ron Paul, and I love you, Captain Faggot, both of you guys. Thanks for having me on.
mm-hmm.
Oh,
no problem. good to see that you guys have been fooled so well and that you guys love Freemasons.
Okay.
Right. Blair, thank you for hosting.
Thank you for listening so intently to everything we said, Evan. I appreciate how well you listened to me.
And it was actually a good day. We had fun.
In 2 weeks.
Yes,
yeah,
it was fun.
2 weeks, Halloween. Guys.
We're off on Halloween.
Everybody be safe on Halloween, okay?
Go Cardinals.
Really,
bye.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much, Ruth Ann. I love you. Thank you.
Love you guys. This is a good discussion.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
Have a good night, everybody.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Adios.